May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1028. Come hither, ye by sin distressed, and hear the Saviour's faithful word. Soon ye shall enter into rest, and know that he's your conquering Lord. 1028.
Turn to read this evening in the book of Judges, reading part of chapter 6. The book of Judges, chapter 6, and we'll read the first 24 verses. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east. Even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom, that is, the Lord send peace. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. May the Lord grant his blessing upon his holy word of truth, and help us to pray. O thou most holy and almighty God, we are gathered together, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son, and desiring that truth, that great promise that came from the dear Saviour's lips, be proven amongst us here tonight, that Christ is in the midst. O Lord, come, make thyself known in each of our hearts and amongst us, and unite us in prayer, in praise, in worship. Lord, may we be united in desire, oh, to know thy presence and to hear thy voice, even that voice of love and voice of mercy that flows from Calvary. For each of us here this night, Lord, are sinners, great sinners in thy sight. Lord, we may not be so in our own, because our hearts are deceitful, they are desperately wicked. But, O Lord, teach us what we are before thee, and bring us humbly to the ground, to the earth, to the dust, nothing but a worm of this earth, that we may seek all our glory from thee, Lord, who gave thine only begotten Son to bear the sins of many, Lord, to blot out all those transgressions, to love them freely. And oh, we seek, Lord, that each of us may know that truth of the power of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, applied to our heart by the Holy Ghost. O Lord, do teach us all things concerning the truth as it is in Jesus, that we may have a good hope through that grace. Lord, do hear the cry of each one that so pours out their heart before thee. And grant, Lord, some knowledge that their names, our names, all of our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. O Lord, do raise us above earthly things, even but for a moment of time, to forget all the duties, responsibilities, and the cares of the temporal things of this life, to look now by faith unto the Lamb of God, who alone can take away the sin of the world, all that's in us by nature, that we should be made clean in thy most holy sight, clothed in Christ's righteousness, fit, prepared for eternal life. Lord, the end of this temporal life is before us each. Our body will be separated from that of our spirit, our soul. But, O Lord, we fear that judgment when there's the separation from thee, Almighty God, forever and ever and ever. Oh, let none of us, Lord, know that final separation. But, Lord, hear each cry. Oh, to be bound in that love of Christ, unto him and unto thee, and that love, that bond of thy love, never to leave us, but only to be increased more and more into the fullness in the kingdom of heaven. So, Lord, hear our cries, and whilst our days on earth here are lengthened, oh, may we give them, Lord, to thee. Oh, do not let us be left to live just to our own selves, our own earthly interests, our own earthly gains. Lord, those things which we shall have to leave behind when we take our last breath. For it is true, as thy word says, we brought nothing into this world. We can carry nothing out. But, Lord, in those things which we have to deal with in these earthly days, Lord, help us to do all things as if unto thee, seeking to do all things to thine honour and to thy glory, seeking, Lord, thy will to be done. O Lord, who make us obedient to thy word, to walk in love, as Christ hath loved us. And so keep us, Lord, in the narrow way, that narrow way that leads unto life eternal. Deliver us from the broad way. O Lord, how broad, how wide, how great is that way. Even it can be a religious way, trusting, believing in those things which are short of faith in Jesus Christ alone. And Lord, to go through that gate unto destruction. Oh Lord, keep us from such a solemn end. Open up thy word of truth to us. Lord, we have thy word before us. We thank thee for it. We've read but a small portion of it this night, but may that word not be in vain. Lord, do not let thy word ever fall to the ground when we read it. May it accomplish that which thou doth please. May it prosper in the thing to which thou doth send it, thou hast given it. We thank thee it's in our own tongue we can read it. Oh, give us more than just head knowledge. Cause it, Lord, to affect our hearts. Lord, may we know that broken and a contrite heart, which is the acceptable sacrifice, as we read of what we deserve in our flesh and in our sinful soul, but what is given through the sufferings of Christ, who poured out his soul unto death. Oh, that guilty sinners might live forevermore. Oh, Lord, teach us these things and help us to hold fast to those sacred truths. Lord, we pray thou wilt so lead us and guide us. We pray for each one, Lord, here tonight in all their particular pathways. Lord, may we know our times are in thy hand. All things are at thy command. The troubles and the joys, the fears, Lord, those things which rise up within us through that which comes upon us in the pathway of life. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt increase our faith to lay all such fears and all such difficulties and troubles and anxieties and cares upon thee, by faith to roll upon thee our burdens, for thou art a faithful God. Lord, thou dost hear the cries of the destitute, the poor and the needy, and thou wilt not let them be tempted above what they are able to bear. Lord, but wilt, with the temptation, make that way to escape. Lord, to flee, oh, by faith, to thee who art able to do all things, even abundantly, above what we ask or think. Lord, hast thou not appeared in days gone by? Lord, hast thou not been a help in the times of trouble? A very present help in trouble. Lord, hast thou not caused one and another to be still and to know that thou art God, as they've cast upon thee all their care. And Lord, they've come to know thou doth care for them. Oh Lord, thou art a faithful God. Thou wilt never leave nor forsake. For thou who hast helped us hitherto, surely thou shalt help us all our journey through. Remember the children, the little ones, growing up in this sinful, evil world. Lord, be their keeper. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit them for heaven to live with thee there. Lord, as they grow, oh, help them as their faculties develop. Lord, work within them by thy Spirit to draw them to thy word of truth, to read it, to meditate upon it. And Lord, as they grow and mix with so many sinful things of this world, which are set before them in their, through their eyes and through their ears, oh, Lord, keep them close to thyself. Let not Satan have them. But, Lord, may they grow to be true followers of thee. Thee, of Christ, the Good Shepherd, who gave his life for the sheep, and they, the lambs of the fold, to grow to be the sheep of thy pasture. Oh, from the rising children, the rising generation, Lord, do call many by thy grace into the sure knowledge of thy redeeming love. The young people likewise, Lord, in all their pathways, the many decisions, the changing scenes of life, the many things that have to be considered, new responsibilities, new duties, Lord, new things that come upon them. Lord, be their guide, be their director. Lead them forth by the right way. Help them to be much in prayer. casting, Lord, their cares upon Thee, committing their way unto Thee, trusting also in Thee by faith, that precious grace of the Spirit. And so, Lord, bring to pass that which is for their good, temporal things and spiritual, that they may be able to declare that Thou art their God, and even to testify, Lord, oh, can it be Thy will, of that mercy unto their soul. Oh, so build up, Lord, Thy visible church upon this earth, Lord, wherever it is found. And Lord, each of us in older years, in the responsibilities, the business, the bringing up of children, Lord, in all that falls upon us to handle and to consider with our minds, Lord, do lead us in all these things. Give us all needed wisdom and all needed grace. Lord, in the matters of the church, where church responsibilities come, Lord, do be the helper. Our dear friends here, the deacon, and each one of the church members, oh Lord, bind them together, Lord, in that unity of Thy Spirit and the bond of Thy peace, determined to know nothing amongst them save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Lord, be with each of the congregation. Oh Lord, do not let them remain afar off, outside of the commonwealth of Israel, without Thee, God, and without hope in this world. Lord, draw them nigh by the blood of Christ. May they know that power, Lord, the power of that pardoning love within their own heart. And Lord, bring them humbly to Thy feet without exception. Lord, we do pray for Thy great work of grace to manifest here, and any who could not be here tonight who would be here if they could. And Lord, remember any who could be here if they would. Oh Lord, do not leave in a far off state, for Thou, for whom nothing is impossible, Lord, can make the dead to live. Oh, do hear us, Lord, in all these things, these vital things, for the eternal good of our soul. And we thank Thee, Lord, for the liberty of worship we have this night, to freely come and be gathered together here. Lord, do not let such a privilege be taken from us. We pray for our government. Thou wilt lead them aright in all the business that they have to attend to. Lord, do put within them Thy tender fear. Lord, make them strong in the ways that are right, and make them strong against the things that are wrong. And, O Lord, do prosper our way still as a nation. Thou art yet to be our God through Thy mercy, and not the judgment that we deserve. O Lord, cause the many abominations on our statute books, Lord, to be ruled out, to be crossed out, to be overturned. And Lord, may it be that, oh, Thou wilt raise up many to call Christ the Redeemer blessed. Lord, do hear us in all these, our petitions. Remember the sick. Lord, do heal them, can it be Thy will. Many at this time of a year, Lord, are laid aside for one form of sickness or another. Lord, do not only grant healing to the body, but sanctify it for the healing of the soul. Hear the many prayers that are put up to Thee, and grant those answers, Lord, which bring benefit to the soul, the fervorance of the gospel, the glory of Thy name. So, Lord, hear us. Pardon all of our sins. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
984. Hark how the gospel trumpet sounds, Christ and free grace therein abounds. Free grace to such as sinners be, and if free grace, why not for me? 984.
complete dependence, dear friends, upon our God, that he will open up aright unto our hearts the sacred truth of his holy word left on record for us. I would ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the chapter which we read in the book of Judges, chapter 6, and the last clause of verse 10. Judges chapter 6, verse 10, the last clause. But ye have not obeyed my voice. But ye have not obeyed my voice. The last clause of this 10th verse of the 6th chapter of the book of Judges. These are the words of a prophet of God sent unto Israel. They were in great distress because they had sinned. They'd had peace and prosperity from their enemies for 40 years. But during those 40 years, their sins had increased. They had not obeyed the voice of God given unto them through Moses when they about to come into the promised land. They had not obeyed the law given to him, written in the book of Deuteronomy. They had entertained the ways of the heathen, of those whom they should have cast out from the promised land, but they had not. They had given their sons to them as husbands, and they had taken from them their daughters to be as wives. And they had fallen down and worshipped their God. Dear friends, they were ignorant of it. Oh, dear friends, how solemn, isn't it, that we can be so ignorant of our sinful nature in departing from the living God. It's a great mercy, isn't it, where the Lord appears in his chastening, to make us conscious that we have sinned. This was the case here with the coming in of these Midianites, who had now affected Israel terribly for 7 years. So powerful were these Midianites and the Amalekites and others from the east that they were like grasshoppers, as we read in the land. And they removed from Israel all the crops of the harvest. They removed, they took their livestock. Israel was left destitute. And they fled to the mountains and hid themselves in the caves and in the dens for fear of their lives. But their cry came up unto the Lord their God, and the Lord sent this prophet to remind them of what the Lord had done for them, and how the Lord, because of his kindness and his mercies and his great power toward them, that how they should now conduct themselves to walk in love and obedience to him who in love to them had brought them out of Egypt, brought them through that great wilderness in spite of all the sins of the people, had been faithful who had promised, and had brought them into that land of Canaan, that promised land. But ye have not obeyed my voice, says God. And therefore these things have come upon you. You know, dear friends, these things are left on record for our learning, aren't they? When we consider the Church of Christ in our day now, what a parallel there seems to be in some of these old accounts. Let's not just look at them out of general interest, just out of historical fact. No, friends, they're part of the revealed word of God, the counsel of God. How we must pray that wherever we read in the scriptures, there'll be an application for our benefit, for our good, for our instruction, for our guidance, for our keeping. When we consider the professing Church of Christ today, dear friends, we've had peace and prosperity, haven't we, from the physical enemy for over 70 years. But what has taken place in that time? There's been such a falling away. Oh, when we look at the professing Church of Christ today, the false doctrines, the sinful practices that are entertained, there's a desire for earthly entertainment and earthly glories more than the glory of God. Dear friends, I'm not judging. These are just observations we make. When we look at some of the great cathedrals that were built in the Middle Ages, and forms of entertainment have now been brought in to try and attract people into those places under the pretext that it is God honoring. Dear friends, how blasphemous these can be. And there are those who are appointed to office who do not believe the doctrines of Christ Jesus, the virgin birth, his death, his resurrection, and so we may go on, even a creation. Dear friends, we're in a very, very low state. But what of ourselves? How we need these to search out our own hearts, don't we? We're not to stand aloof and point the finger at others. There's no benefit in that. Dear friends, in these past 70 years, how greatly we have prospered physically, materially. Great affluence, far more than ever has been known before. And do we not so easily become in a spiritual, sleepy condition? We look to the benefits, the physical benefits we have, the physical wealth that we have, the ease of the supply that we have need of daily with food and drink and clothing and homes and so forth. And so many things are immediate, aren't they? Very few things have to be waited for, even in communication. And are we not more like Laodicea? So easily we become like that church there of Laodicea who was rich, in need of nothing. They were a very prosperous city. They even minted their own coins. They were on a crossroads of true trade routes. They bred sheep with a special type of clothing which was used for rich garments and so on and so forth. We're rich and in need of nothing. They may have been very morally upright, and so do we. Keep ourselves outwardly from many sins. But what inwardly, what about the inwardness of our soul? Do we love and put more value, spiritually and practically, upon the temporal benefits of this life than we do on the things of God and the blessings we need for our soul? Where is our first love? Oh, that was a solemn witness, wasn't it, to the church at Ephesus? Dear friends, they were very strong and upright in many things, revealed to John on that Isle of Patmos by Jesus. But he says, ye have left your first love. Ye have left your first love. Other things were of far more importance than that shed blood of Christ, which had redeemed their soul from the pit of corruption. They did not obey the Lord's voice to love the Lord with all their heart, and with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength. Dear friends, what is it with you? And what is it with me? But ye have not obeyed my voice. Ye have strayed. You've backslidden. The love of temporal things is greater than the love of those things which are eternal. How have we come here tonight, dear friends? Where are our hearts? They're prone to wander, aren't they, as we often sing? But when we sing it, do we really know it? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above. Dear friends, how we need to be kept in the right way. Christ first, Christ all and in all. How easily we can be content short of that. Dear friends, what a mercy. What a mercy if the Lord brings us into great concern. We have concerns today, don't we? Is it not the Lord's hand? That of course so many things rising up against the witness of his truth now in our day. So many seek to threaten the liberties of worship that we have. Many abominations so contrary to God's word are now permitted openly and promoted. And I don't have to describe what those things are, do I? And dear friends, there's many today who would have the public worship of God banished. They're already seeking to remove prayer from the Houses of Parliament and from public places. How much further will it go? Will the Lord permit it to be like the Midianites, to come in and have the power over us? Oh, what a need there is for prayer, isn't there? Prayer that we be left to the freedom of our worship, our Protestant liberties, but above that, for dear friends, the power of the Spirit to come and rule our hearts, to put the things of Christ first and foremost in our lives. Ye have not obeyed my voice. Now, dear friends, in this solemn condition, for this people of Israel had not come, in spite of the word of the prophet, to true repentance. Although he had told them the truth, he told them the reason of why these Midianites had come, for which they were crying out for him to deliver them from. We don't read that word brought them to any godly repentance. That is quite a solemn thing, isn't it? We can be told quite clearly the reason why things are adverse to us who seek to worship God. But our own hearts remain hard. They remain, as it were, untouched. We may mourn over many things in our minds, but the difference is that the real effect of the pouring out of our heart before God in humble repentance and confession of sin, that broken and a contrite heart, which is the acceptable sacrifice. Oh, dear friends, we can carry on in our lives easily and restfully, don't we? Our coming and our going even to the house of God. And we can so easily be left content, complaining over what takes place, what others do. And we considering ourselves morally upright. But we don't know that broken heart. Dear friends, the scriptures, oh, how they, shall I say, call, exhort to humble repentance, confession of sin. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Oh, how we need the power, don't we? The power of the Spirit of God. How we need the Lord to raise up those means by which we shall take note and be delivered from the enemy of our souls. Now we have here in this chapter the Lord singling out a man. This man Gideon, for that purpose. Dear friends, Gideon was an unbeliever. He was no different to all the others in his spirit. But naturally, he was very strong and bold. Do you notice he wasn't amongst those who fled to the mountains and hid in the dens? And in the caves. He was still at Ophrah, in the place of his allocation of land, which was given unto the Abiezrites. He was at Ophrah, which is in the plain of the Kishon Valley, which is really the breadbasket of Israel. Very fertile land. He was determined not to let the Midianites completely rid him of his food and the necessary things. He was determined against them. And the Lord came unto him in this form of an angel and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." The Lord is with thee. Dear friends, he found grace in the eyes of God because he was one to be used for the purpose of God at that time in the deliverance of Israel, his beloved people, even though they were great sinners, to deliver them from their enemy, his chastening hand, and to bring them to know his mercy and grace yet toward them, that they should return to be true followers and worshippers of him. A people for his praise. Now, Gideon at first said, if the Lord is with us. Oh, you've said the Lord is with me, but I'm one of these people. If the Lord is with us, then why all these things have come upon us? He was an unbeliever, wasn't he? He was amongst those who hadn't obeyed the voice of the Lord. He was conducting himself just in an earthly way for his own good. But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. He knew what had taken place. Dear friends, but at this time he did not know the true repentance, truly godly sorrow over his sin. But you know, dear friends, where the Lord has a work for one to do in his name, to his honour and glory, he will bring them low and obedient to that pathway which he would have them walk. The Lord spoke to the angel of the Lord, spoke to him the second time. The Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Oh, dear friends, what a direction, what a word from the Lord. Now, dear friends, the effect on Gideon was great fear. Or we may have had strength and boldness and being a mighty man of valour to still provide his own food, perhaps for his own family, against the power of the Midianites on a daily basis. But to destroy the Midianites, that was far beyond what he could think. That was far beyond his own power. And so he feared. Who was he? He was poor. He was the least in his father's house. Dear friends, it certainly, the word of the Lord for the way he would have him to go, certainly didn't cause Gideon to be lifted up in his own strength and boastful and, oh, I can do all these things. He was brought into great fear. And so the Lord spoke to him the third time. The Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Surely I will be with thee. Now that's the vital thing, isn't it? When the Lord calls us to be obedient to his voice, we don't go alone. Surely I will be with thee. It's and the Lord, and the Lord. This was spoken, wasn't it, to Joshua when he was called to lead the children of Israel across Jordan into the promised land. And the Lord, he it is that shall go before thee and be with thee. He will not fail thee. Fear not. What was it spoken to Moses? When the Lord appeared unto him in that burning bush to go and take the children of Israel from Egypt. Dear friends, it was a great objection, wasn't there, from Moses? He wasn't able to do it. He wasn't an able speaker. Oh yes, he knew the ways of Egypt because he'd been brought up there for 40 years. But oh, how could he go back and deliver his people from the hand of Pharaoh, who he knew was against them? The Lord said, surely, surely, he would be with him. Surely my presence will be with thee. And dear friends, that's the strength, isn't it, of the Lord's people. Whenever there is to be obedience to his word, obedience to his calling. In the beginning, God. Oh, we tried to speak from that last Friday, didn't we? In the beginning, God. Where the Lord begins a work, where the Lord begins that direction in the way we should go, he will work out his purposes. Dear friends, how solemn if we do not obey that voice. we shall not prosper, shall we? It was on this basis and this basis alone that Gideon prospered. Oh, he trembled that he'd seen the face of an angel. He trembled that the word of God had come directly to him. He feared he would die. But the Lord said, "Fear not, thou shalt not die. Know where I have a purpose for thee, Gideon. I will perform it. And you will have to prove that it is not you yourself for your own glory, for your own grandeur, for your own esteem. It's for you to prove yourself, your complete dependence upon my power, upon my goodness, upon my will, and you just a means in my hand." Dear friends, we like to be lifted up, don't we? We like to have esteem. But dear friends, if there be any prosperity for the good of our soul, dear friends, it is to be the Lord himself alone to work that work, to lead us forth in the right way that he would have us go in this life, that our end in due time shall be everlasting peace. Dear friends, how many does this word apply to you here tonight? How many of you have heard the word of God? When we hear the word of God, it's not just in our heads, to our own understanding. It affects our hearts. There's an effect within. There's a trembling, as it were. There's an effect, like it might be, or but greater. You know, when... Let me put it like this. When a boy meets a girl and a girl meets a boy, and there's an attraction drawn together between the two, there's an effect upon the heart, isn't there? It's not just in the head. There's that sense of love and desire to one toward another. So it is, dear friends, when the word of God comes in the power of the Spirit. Those on the Emmaus Road, when Christ spoke directly to them, their hearts burned within them when they were spoken to by the way. Dear friends, there's an effect. The effect can be various. Or it can bring you into great fear. It can draw you in longing desire to know the sacred truth of Almighty God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. But there's no denying, there's no doubt, it is the word of the Lord. Now David was very searching, wasn't he? He says, "Lord, be not silent to me, lest I become like them that go down into the pit." Dear friends, have you heard the word of the Lord? Is that your cry? Then, dear friends, if you have heard the word of the Lord and there has been that effect in that your heart, there has been that drawing, unto him for the pardon of your sins, for the blessing of your soul, for the confirming of that good hope through his grace, and there's that love which rises up from you for the love of Christ, who gave himself on Calvary's cross for your sins. Oh, the precious truth of that solemn gospel where Christ, in all his sufferings, laid down his life, pouring out his soul unto death, that a guilty sinner like you could live through his death, the pardon of your sins, and to rise again for your justification, that because he lives, you shall live also. Dear friends, this brings the joy and rejoicing, doesn't it, to your heart? That you should be found such a sinner saved by grace. Why me? Why me? Why such a wretch as me, who would forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? Dear friend, do you know anything of that? then have you obeyed his voice and all his will esteem? If ye love me, keep my commandments, to walk in love as he has loved you. Dear friends, he gave himself for you. Can you give yourself obedient to his revealed will, to his word? Or do you prefer just to carry on, content just with the outward form, and not exercise deep within to bring forth all the honour and glory to his name, or to be a true witness of that good hope that is within you? Dear friends, we are to obey his voice. All the ordinances of the Lord's house are not to be despised, as if it doesn't matter. No. We do not say they're essential for salvation. But dear friends, it's a reflection, isn't it, of the love we have to the Lord because of his love to us. And if we do not walk obediently, dear friends, we do not know what the Lord may chasten us with because of our sin of disobedience. Oh, let us lay these things to our heart. We have no strength of our own, do we, like Gideon? But the Lord will make willing in the day of his power. The day of his power. Now this was the power. This was the power unto Gideon, to cause him to walk in the way the Lord would have him go. Dear friends, perhaps there's one here. Maybe more than one, I do not know. Maybe you have taken that step to declare openly the profession of your faith through the Lord's love and mercy to you. Is he calling you to a greater work? Is he saying, dear friends, to you, I am with thee, thou mighty man of valour? Perhaps you do outwardly upon this life, in this life, you resist the powers of sin. Or you come into contact in your daily life with many unbelievers and you're enticed and you're tempted. But you do not do as they do because of the fear of God. You are of great strength, a mighty man, we might say, outwardly there of valour. But has the Lord got a greater work for you to do? To deliver the Lord's people from the bondage of their sin, from their captivity. To destroy the power of the enemy. Now what was it with Gideon? Gideon had to go through various stages, didn't he, when the Lord spoke to him. And dear friends, if the Lord calls you to a work of the ministry or whatever he may have you go, wherever he may have you to go and call for you, his presence is to be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. You may be in great fear. Yes, how is possible? Who is sufficient for these things? Not we, are we? And yet, we are to obey his voice. Perhaps you've had that word already, but ye have not yet obeyed his voice. Gideon wanted the fleece wet, he wanted the fleece dry, didn't he? He wanted evidence as he wanted tokens. And so may you, dear friends, and the Lord gave them to him. And the Lord led Gideon in such a way that it seemed as if it was impossible. Impossible for him to destroy the Midianites with such few people with him. Oh, they were a multitude. He was relatively few. Twice, was it? Or three times, at least twice. The Lord reduced the number of those people with him. Those who were fearful, they let them go back. Those who lapped water in a particular way, they were sent away. And he was left with just that 300, was it? And the Lord told him what to do. They were to have just these earthen vessels. They were to have a lamp within them, hidden to start with, and a sword in their hand. And when he gave the command, dear friends, they were to shout, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon," and to break those earthen vessels that the light shone forth. And oh, fear came upon all those Midianites that they fled. The enemy was gone. His people were saved and they came to glorify God. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Dear friends, what is the sword of the Lord? Is it not the word of God? Do we not read of the word of God as that great sword of the Lord, with all its power to be wielded for the defense of his people and for the removal of the enemy? And that light of the gospel, yes, from earthen vessels to be shone forth. Dear friends, it wasn't in Gideon's power. He was just the means, wasn't it? It was and the Lord. Is that not like the gospel ministry to those whom he sends forth? It's the word of the Lord. Themselves, as it were, just earthen vessels, but the light of that glory of God shining forth through that which is proclaimed, that which is shouted forth. It's the Lord's power, it's the Lord's will. He will use it to the good and blessing of his people and for his own glory. But ye have not yet obeyed his voice. Oh, dear friends, it's solemn, isn't it, when our own hearts, our own fears, our own minds, our own reasoning hold us back from walking by faith in the way the Lord would have us go. Dear friends, where the Lord has begun a good work in you, our cry should be as that of the Apostle Paul, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And if the Lord speaks that which you shall do, then, dear friends, do walk it out. You won't do it in your own strength. The Apostle Paul didn't go forth in his own strength, did he? He had so much against him. The beatings, the stoning, the shipwrecks, the hunger, the thirst, the nakedness. Oh, you wonder how he was able to carry on. He testified, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Dear friends, how shall people hear unless there be a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? What was the word of the Lord to Gideon? "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Go in this thy might. Have not I sent thee?" And then that wonderful promise. "Surely, surely, I will be with thee." Dear friends, that's the foundation that shall not be shaken. Well, I say not be shaken, it shall not be removed. It may well be shaken, like we read of in Psalm 46. The mountain shaken. But once the promise of the Lord and the word of God will ever abide. Like that river that flows down of his grace that was sufficient for Paul, wasn't it? "My grace is sufficient for thee." And so Paul continued on to the end. All these things have rather worked out for the furtherance of the gospel. Oh, dear friends, is there an exercise here tonight? Is there any word from the Lord? Is there to be that walking out of the way that he would have you go? But yet ye have not obeyed my voice. Well, dear friends, I pray that this text tonight will be removed from you. That through his power, through the power of that word and the influence of his spirit, affecting your heart, you will be able to say, I have obeyed the word of the Lord. He has not left me nor forsaken me. He's been with me all my way. And as it was promised unto Joshua in that call that he had by Moses, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Oh, the Lord bless and apply his word, not mine, but his word. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a church meeting immediately after this service. And Mr. Gilbert Hyde is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Pocock next Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 720. Endless blessings on the Lamb, broken hearts repeat the same. His dear heart was broken too when he bore the curse for you. 720.
Lord, do bless thine own word. Lord, do not let it fall to the ground. Lord, do make us each obedient servants of thee, to walk in that love which thou hast revealed within our hearts. And Lord, if that love has not been revealed, oh, make no tarrying. For thou canst quicken the dead into everlasting life. Lord, may we all be true followers of thee, in the sovereign way that thou wouldst have us to go. And if there's any word of thine, Lord, for our direction, make us humble and obedient in faith, knowing that thou wilt never leave nor forsake, but thy will shall be done. Be with us as we separate. O Lord, do abide with us and help us all our journey through. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost to abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.